Hi, I'm Barry Conrad, and this is Banter with BC. Cheers, bro.
Cheers.
And today I'm here with my bro, Brock Ashby. Brock, do you want to introduce yourself to the people?
Hey guys, I'm Brock Ashby. I'm a body transformation coach. I've known Barry for ages now. We go way back. I'm excited.
To kick things off, we're going to play Two Truths and a Lie. Basically, you make three statements. Two of them are true, one of them is a lie. I've got a guess and vice versa.
Okay. I think I need a little bit of time.
That's all right. We'll just like have like thought bubbles as you're thinking.
I was once a graffiti artist.
Okay.
The first job that I wanted to ever have was to be a zookeeper. I once went on a date with Delta Goodrem while I was on The Voice. Two truths, one lie.
I'm gonna say the first two are true, and the third one's a lie.
Correct.
Yes! Knew it. Do you know how I knew it? I just knew it. You wouldn't have done that. Like,
because he was dating Patrick
at the same time.
Yeah. Because I did. We were dating. Yeah.
That's so funny. You ready?
Very good.
So I went peroxide blonde to try to impress a girl who liked Cisco by performing the thong song. English is my second language. And thirdly, I once lost my passport in the US and got grounded in Seattle. Couldn't leave for days. Yeah. What you got?
The first one, I believe you would do something like that. And I would like to hear that. The thong song. They're all pretty good.
But what's your verdict?
The thong song was a lie.
You are wrong.
No way.
I actually did that. It was a long time ago, but it happened. It definitely happened, and it didn't work.
It just. I would love to see that.
I committed.
Was it filmed?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Thank you, sir. This looks amazing.
Thank you very much, Ricardo.
Yeah. So, what is the biggest stereotype surrounding your work?
It's hard because I'm a personal trainer, right? So it's almost an insult to myself. But there's, like, personal trainers are sleazy. That's one thing that I would say a lot of people assume. Because there's a lot of personal trainers that get too personal, or they have relationships with their clients like afterwards, or maybe it's like a secret. And I'm an online personal trainer now, so I'm not really in the trenches like that. But I definitely have seen that side of personal training. You know, if you're a personal trainer, you're a junk, you know, you're like a bro. Hey guys, and yeah. It's Brock, another personal trainer. Like, there is that stereotype. As a personal trainer, I experience the opportunity to be like that.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
You know, with female clientele and with male clientele, I guess it depends on the person. I didn't engage in any of that, but a lot of personal trainers do. So yeah. I think you just have to treat it professional, but it's also hard as a personal trainer because you're a personal trainer. It's a personal job.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is my client that pays me, but you also, this is my kind of like a friend that I see two or three times a week. So it does get quite gray.
Which actor would play you in a movie about your life?
Mark Wahlberg.
There you go. It's a pretty good pick.
I think he's funny.
Yeah.
He works out.
He's Jack.
He does F45 though. I won't hold that against him.
What life challenge are you most proud of conquering?
There's two things, right?
Yeah.
If we get really deep, I lost my mom when I was 12, right? So that was probably the hardest thing that I went through. And to say that I conquered it would be challenging. But I definitely think I overcame it and I worked through it. And that's probably when, a couple of years after that happened, was probably when I first met you around that time, when I was getting into singing. That definitely helped me, but I definitely feel like I have done well as like moved countries. You've traveled a lot and it's tricky, man. I first moved to Auckland. I didn't really have family there. I had a couple of friends there. And that was hard, man. Like, yeah. I was like sleeping on people's couches, trying to find jobs. I was trying to be a singer at the time, but I didn't know anyone, and I was selling jandals or selling thong.
Yeah. Thong song. Yeah.
Cut the thong. Like, heaps of nights I was struggling. And it kind of forced me to really pursue and figure out what I was actually trying to do with my life. And I feel like I found that, you know, with what I'm doing now, body transformation coaching and everything that I do on a day-to-day basis, like working for myself. What about you?
Smashing it. Oh man, one of the biggest life challenges I've conquered was probably losing Audrey. She was like my second mom. She passed away from cancer. And that was really hard. I was doing a show at the same time, X Factor. That was like a crossroads between what I wanted to do, whether I still wanted to sing or act or anything. The night before we started everything, so Red flew through us a party. And then on the walk back to the hotel room, I got the text, oh, she's gone. So I didn't get to say goodbye. It was really, really tough. So that was really hard to overcome because it also made me question what I believe.
That was really hard. Helped you through that? Because I think for me, the best thing was having people that were older than me and wiser than me. I feel like that helped me. What do you think it helped you?
I didn't really have time to process it because it was straight into that show. And even from there, for the next few years, it was a lot of work stuff happening. I didn't really deal with that. It was just a real pivotal moment for me. I think realizing all that we're not as in control as what we think we are, and now I'm more at peace with, you know what, all I can control is this moment. What's your weirdest habit? This is an insert thought bubble moment.
There's gonna be a lot. It annoys my wife and it annoys my wife's family.
What?
I sing without realizing.
I do the same thing. Yeah. Without realizing.
And I'm just like sitting out working, there's no music, like I'm just like that, but I'm singing. And they'll be like, shut up. And I'm like, why? And they'll be like, you're singing. Yeah, it's just annoying to me.
What about the grocery store? Do you do that when you're in a shop? I do it all the time, like walking down the aisle. And then I'll catch myself because someone will go, almost like, shut up. I'm like, I didn't realize it was, what? This is not gonna work.
Let me help you out.
Zoom into that. This is not, I'm just like, pretty over the edge.
I'm still a Kiwi.
Yeah, you are. Dude, do you think you'll change to Aussie?
Apparently I already sound like an Aussie. It's like I say Sydney instead of Sydney.
You actually do
instead
now.
Instead of Sydney.
Sydney.
Or like Sydney. When I first moved here, because I'm a personal trainer, I count reps. So I'll go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And every time I got there, my clients would laugh at me.
Six?
Yeah. So I was like, stuff it. I was just tired of getting teased for sounding like a Kiwi.
Just conform.
It was just like, just conform.
What cheers you up on a bad day?
This is a good one. Because it's changed as of 12 weeks ago. My daughter. So lately, I'm talking with my mouth full.
What? It's a Kiwi thing.
Lately, the routine with my wife and my daughter has been like, I'll wake up and my wife will feed her. And then I'll take her for like an hour and then I'll put her to bed. And that has been awesome. When your baby laughs, it's like the best thing ever. So that's probably the thing that cheers me up the most. What felt like the biggest rejection in my life was when I was on The Voice.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, why?
Well, you're in front of all of Australia or whoever's watching and you get voted off. It's not like you suck, but it's like you're going home. Like no one voted for you. Yeah. Or like the least amount of people voted for you.
Yeah.
If votes are true, I'm still...
It's really good food, huh?
Yeah.
Do you have some more of that? This arancini ball is really good, real good, right there.
In my head, I was like, this is my last shot as like a musician. Because when I came to Australia, I was like, I just want to kind of put music out of my head. I tried it, it was fun. What are you really good at? Like when I met you, you're a crazy singer. Nate's a crazy singer. Vince Harder is a crazy singer. Guy Sebastian, a crazy singer. And then when I'm like, I don't sound like that. It doesn't come as natural. I felt like I wasn't a natural vocalist. I struggled, like I learned, I had to practice a lot and I still never got that same feeling where like you see people that just, it just comes out, like it's just like, I was like, should it be this hard? Because I feel like if I were you, it would come out much easier if I was trying to sing, but I felt like I was trying to overthink things. I was like, I'm not doing music, but I'll do this. And my clients were like, you should do it because you're singing and stuff. So I did it. And then I was on like Team Kelly and I was getting excited, battles and all that kind of stuff. And then when I got eliminated, I was like, oh, I was getting like excited. And then I got voted off of national TV in front of people. And I was like a little bit embarrassed to go back to the gym and be like a personal trainer again.
The most embarrassing thing you've been through, an embarrassing moment.
Can you give me an example of one of your?
Easily one of my most embarrassing, ego-bruising moments ever. I was doing a show, Beautiful, the Carole King musical, and I was part of the Drifters. And there's this one part of the show where we have our blazers over our shoulder in the first part of the song. We all have to turn in unison, spin around, and as we turn, we put our jackets on. This one particular night, it was a full house. The jacket just would not go on, and I just had like one hand in a while, also like doing another step across, and in my head I was panicking so hard, like, this is so shit. This is really bad. I took it out and I just threw it across the stage into the wings and kept going.
Nice.
I had to finish it, but afterwards I ran off there and I actually cried.
Yeah.
After the choreographer came and like patted me on the back, we all laughed about it because because it was really funny, but it was embarrassing.
The outfits that I wore on The Voice, I didn't like any of them. I'm not throwing shade on anyone, but like when I was doing this show, they asked me for inspiration. So I said like, these are the people that I enjoy. And I wanted to try and make myself look older because I had quite a young fit. I have had quite a young face,
yeah.
Especially when I'm like clean shaven and stuff like that. So I didn't want to go for the young Justin Bieber-y look and be like that sort of person. I wanted to try and dress older. So I sent them photos of John Legend and Justin Timberlake, and they dress like quite formal. You know, like they have blazers and maybe a V-neck or like an open shirt, and like it makes them look a bit older. I want to appeal to that demographic. And it didn't matter what I sent because I didn't wear any of what I like put that. So I was wearing kind of like tight tops and
like
but this is a tight and it was low so you can see my chest and stuff, and I was like, this is not really what I wanted to wear. The only one that I felt comfortable in was the one that I dressed myself in, which was the audition. But like, I remember I did this one, it was probably my worst performance. I think it was the one where I sang Attention by Charlie Puth, quite bad.
Looking it up now.
yeah. Cut.
Insert.
To clip. Photo of rock. I was wearing this dress shirt and it kind of looked like it was marble.
Marble dress
shirt? Yeah, and it was just terrible, and I sang bad, and then I think the next week I went home, so I felt like it just didn't work.
Yeah.
I feel like that was pretty embarrassing. It's not as obvious, but I wouldn't like my daughter to see my outfit.
Well, she's gonna find that. On that note, this guy eats ice cream all the time online.
Love it.
How are you doing?
Love it.
You're doing and eating special with that food.
But it's because I spent so many years depriving myself. If 18-year-old Brock saw that I just ate pasta, that I ate some bread and oil and, you know, some chips, he would lose his mind. I used to have 10. Yeah. 10 boiled eggs for breakfast. And then I would like steam chicken. I would like steam broccoli. And I would just like do that. And I was like, I can't have chocolate. I can't have ice cream. And I was so rigid. I had this terrible relationship with food for years. I would do this whole boiled eggs, chicken thing and starve myself. And then I'd get to like 8 p.m. and then I'll just eat anything inside.
Yeah.
Order pizza. And I'll just end up doing what I thought I wasn't gonna do. I'll just eat blocks of chocolate and coma out and like with food. And then I'll just wake up the next day, diet starts again. Let's have some boiled eggs, let's have a protein shake, let's have chicken. And then it just went through the cycle, and for years I had like a binge eating problem. It just went for so long, and then one time I just told myself like, I can probably still have it, because like sometimes when I was on this strict diet, I have like a sandwich and I'd feel bad, like it was it was crazy.
Yeah.
I remember one time I did, remember Cleo Bachelor of the Year?
Yeah, how could I forget? I did it too.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah.
2014, I did it. And on the night that I won, I didn't drink water for 2 days. I wanted to try and dehydrate to look lean. Yeah, and I weighed 69 kilos. I was like,
that's
nothing.
So light.
I was eating like 1500 calories a day, tuna in water, counting my almonds.
Tough
like
me.
I brought a Ziploc bag to Auckland on the plane with almonds. Like it was a problem, you know? That night when I won, instead of going out and celebrating and eating a pizza or something, I had fruit. This could probably be my embarrassing moment.
I relate to that completely. Like, I totally hear what you're saying and get it. It's a real disorder, and it's something that a lot of guys deal with that people don't respect.
In the shadows.
Yeah, in the shadows.
Yeah. And now I know so much more that you don't have to do that. But yeah, that was a real problem for me.
Okay, what would you say you're not very good at?
There's so many things I'm not good at. Singing. Australia voted, man. But I've kind of like decided that I'm not funny, but I'm fun.
Okay.
So when I met my wife, it was like the best thing ever because she's funny and she makes me laugh. Like, you know when you laugh at the bros and it's like hilarious? I have those jokes and those laughs with my wife, which I never thought I had. I thought like, okay, I have a girlfriend or I have, you know, a wife, and it's like that's different to hanging out with my mates. Like that's when I piss myself laughing, but when I get home, it's like, okay, it's a bit more tame. It's just as funny with her. I'm not very good at being funny. I felt like I've tried it.
I feel like you're pretty hilarious.
Sometimes when I try and post like videos that are funny, they don't work. So I'm like, okay, the algorithm's playing up.
Yeah, the algorithm.
Man, social media is crazy.
So how did you meet your partner, your wife?
When I was at Fitness First Market Street, my friend Dave was a personal trainer as well. He would train a company called Jenea in like a group setting. So she come in and train, and she was cute. I thought she was beautiful. So I told him, and he was like, oh, she's a really nice girl. You know, she's down to earth. And he kind of started planting seeds a little bit. Like, oh, you should follow him on Instagram and just see what he's about. And he can sing. Mm. I was singing a lot of the time. But I never wanted to go up and talk to her because I coached older people. Like I had executives and corporates and I didn't want to look like this young, flirty, sleazy personal trainer stereotype. So I wasn't working. She was talking about a 30th birthday. She was talking with a friend and she went to Bali. So I just kind of butted in. I'd recently been to Bali. So I went up and I talked to her about Bali. We had some common ground. We talked. And I think I messaged her on Instagram. Dave was like Cupid. You know, he set it all up.
Nice.
Our first date, I invited her to this place called Dudley Page Reserve in Dover's Heights. It overlooks the Sydney Harbour Bridge. You can see the Opera House. The sun was going down and we had gelato Messina.
Messina's my favorite.
Yeah, 100%. I love that there's always specials. And she loved ice cream too. So we bonded over ice cream. That was like our, like she would eat ice cream every night and I would eat ice cream every night. So we would send each other photos of like the tubs that we were eating. Yeah, it was like, I'm having Ben and Jerry's, I'm having, you know, Halo Top tonight. I'm trying to be healthy, you know, like all this stuff. And then a year later, I proposed to her at the same place. It was probably quite obvious. It was like 1 year, like she told me, she was like, I had a good feeling. Cause it was like, we were getting ice cream. We were going back to the same place. So that's how we met. We met at the gym, but she wasn't a client.
Just to clarify.
Just to clarify, I'm not a sleazy personal trainer.
What's the most spontaneous thing you've ever done?
I'm so planned and routine, man.
You're more of a
planned,
structured guy.
I like spontaneity. I really like routine and structure. I like going, I'm gonna wake up at 5 a.m. every day and then just do it. Like instead of being like, I'm gonna sleep in till 9, or like do it. Like I don't, like that doesn't sit right with me. I don't feel good when I'm like that. I feel all over the place. Sometimes I feel like if I have, it's probably another problem. If I have room for spontaneity or too much room for spontaneity, yeah, that I'm like not doing enough.
Really?
You know what I mean? Which means that I'm probably like too full on.
And to finish things off, I'm gonna hit you with some fast trivia. You ready for this?
Let's go.
After Mika Galvoa was stripped of his title just a few weeks ago, who has officially become the youngest IBJJF world champion?
It's one of the Ruotolo brothers. I've got a 50-50% chance at Ty Ruotolo.
Correct.
How did you know that I like jiu-jitsu like that?
I did my research. Which female singer, actor, and TV personality has sold 40 million records worldwide and 60 million more as part of one of the best-selling groups of all time?
Groups? Kelly Rowland?
Yes.
I'll send that to her.
Don Saladino has trained which American actor for 14 years who plays a masked superhero and co-owns a soccer team?
I looked at this yesterday. No, today, Ryan Reynolds.
You're right.
He tagged them in like a photo like the other day.
You got all three right.
I saw that today.
Yeah. How do you feel that you got all three right?
I'm impressed with myself.
Good. Brock, thanks so much for coming on the show. And
thanks for having me,
really,
man.
Really cool to chat and to catch up. I haven't seen this guy in ages.
Thank you for the food. Thanks for the hospitality, man. Thanks for having me on. Loved it. Awesome. Cheers, bro.
If you love this episode of Banter with BC, don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe. Thanks for watching, and we'll catch you next time.